again. This is the KRFY Tuesday Morning Show here with Julie Purchinski, Julie Calamine, and Suzanne Tabert. And if you were listening last week, you'll know that we only got about halfway through our outline of things that we wanted to talk about. Suzanne, you're with Cedar Mountain, and you are just everything herbs and medicinals and berries and garden items, and we made good headway on things out in the like our wild foraging items, wild herbs, wild berries, but we really barely touched on what's going on in the garden. And so we'd like to address that. Plus, how do we stay calm in this wild time of summer festival going on? People coming and going. Everyone wants to be visiting with us. How do we keep it together? So that's our purpose for this morning.
Sounds good to me. Being calm is one of my favorite things because, type A personalities, we can spin out so fast.
Oh, man. Well, all right. So just to recap from last week, we learned about a lot of interesting ways that we can use native plants as medicinals. And I won't recap everything, but yarrow was important, mullein. Oh, we talked about berries, and we just barely touched on getting into the garden, and the garden is what so much of us are into right now. Heat of summer, we're harvesting, trying to figure out what to do with things, how best to use them. So let's launch in.
Last Thursday, my apprentices and I went into the garden, and I said, what I want you all to do is cut a bouquet of the plants that call to you. Make sure you get a lot of flowers. Make sure you get some greens. My husband had harvested all the garlic that Saturday before, and he cut it. So the necks, these are all hard necks, and they're about maybe 8 inches long. So we went into the garden, and the bees were buzzing. The hummingbirds were flitting around. Max the cat was doing Max the cat that he does so well. And we, right next to the garden, right next to the big hops plant, I have a huge table. So we laid out all our herbs, and I said, you're going to make a doll, and you're going to take those herbs. And we took echinacea for arms. So echinacea, the stems are really robust, right? And so the hands were the flowers and the stems were the arms, and we rubber banded them together really well. And then they took their bouquet and kind of arranged it so it looked more like a dress, you know, with the lavender on the very top and, you know, the oregano flowers on the bottom and all of that they got to pick. And stuck it in there, wrapped it really tight with rubber band. And then they got to, if they wanted kind of a rustic looking or a hippie looking dolly, they covered that rubber band with twine. And if they wanted a romantic looking dolly, I had all kinds of ribbons. And one of them drew little eyes and a nose and a mouth on her head of garlic. They were so cute. Oh my gosh. And just this last Saturday, I spoke on adrenal health to students at the National University of Natural Medicine, and the event coordinator, so sweet. And she just, you know, she was there every step of the way with, you know, telling me what I needed and how to get on the Zoom and all of that. So today after the show, I'm going to make her an herb dolly and wrap that up in tissue paper and mail that out to her. And the thing is, she can keep that in her kitchen. And I'm going to use all culinary. So thyme, oregano, I'll throw in some lovage. There's parsley, all kinds of things that as it dries, she can pick off little pieces and use in her cooking.
Boy, that takes savory bouquet to a whole new level.
That's fantastic. I love
so
that.
So fun.
They're so cute.
And for kids, wouldn't that be a fun thing for kids to do?
Yes.
I would think so.
Yeah. And, you know, kids, they're just creative. You don't have to tell kids to be creative. They just are, you know. And so to tell them to go out there and to pick the flowers that call to them, their hearts are free, you know, and their minds are open, and to see what they pick. It's a gorgeous thing. In my garden, I have seashells, I have beach rocks, I have, you know, those little clear colored glass kind of lozenges that people put in the vases to keep the flowers in there, the vase from tipping over. I throw those in the raised beds. And then whenever little kids come over, I say, I think the fairies came here last week, and I think you need to go in there and see what you can find. And their little faces are like, ah! You know, the tiny little blue glass, and they come with their little open hands and stare. And it's a way to get kids in the garden and excited about it.
Maybe this is all we need to do to relax for the rest of summer. Stop inviting people over and just go look for some glass.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That sounds good. And pretty rocks.
Producing things in the garden, too. You've got all this craft opportunity now.
Right.
Because everything's there.
Yep.
Everything's blooming.
Yeah. Yes, and there's so much beauty in the garden. And it's really kind of, you know, midsummer, like I said earlier, I'm seeing changes a little earlier. We cut back the motherwort already, but I have loads of little motherwort plants coming up. So if any of the listeners want to come and get motherwort, there's always an opportunity for that. And you were talking earlier about how do we keep calm? You know, we're so peopled out. I don't know, but I'm not going to say what everybody else feels like, but I am peopled out. You know, this gathering, that gathering, those people coming over, we're going over there. And
events in town.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
Yes. Farmers Market. Festival, for goodness sake.
Exactly.
Yes. It's great, but it's a lot.
It's a lot. And it's okay to say, I need a break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can come for a little bit. I can come for an hour and then have that option to go. So you don't feel that, I got to stay till midnight. This person's going to talk my ear. If you go into a gathering saying, you know, I love you all so much. And for my own health, I'm going to have to be able to stay just an hour or an hour and a half, whatever. But then you have that choice whether you want to stay longer. But you kind of give yourself an out.
That's right. You know? Give yourself permission.
Right.
And with that extra time that you're not spending feeling obligated to socialize, we can run into the garden and do things.
Yes.
What are the things you're doing right now? What things are you doing, for example, today after your other obligation?
After my other obligation, I'm gonna go in and sit in my garden. I have one of my apprentices, Riley. Her parents own City Beach Organics. She is a beautiful soul, and she comes into my garden and weeds for me because my net goes out when I pull a weed, which is so crazy because I used to heft bales of straw and hay, and now, you know, I look at a weed, my neck goes, oh no.
don't do that,
you're 65. And I go, ah. So she comes in and just weeds so well. So I'm not going to weed today, but what I need to do, I noticed today when I went in for a quick check that there are herbs that need to be tied up. My elecampane, for instance, that's a plant that the root is so helpful as an expectorant to get the junk out. And we've been very lucky with the lack of major fires in the area, so we haven't had a lot of smoke, but that's a good one.
Was there another name we might know that herb by? It's not a familiar name to me. The one, aloe, what did you just...
Elecampane?
Yes, I don't know.
Well,
that
if you want to go even more obscure, we can use the botanical name Inula hellenium.
Well, that helps.
But
that's
it. Herb. You don't see that very often.
And it looks like a sunflower, right? Little tiny sunflowers with spiky ray flowers. Beautiful. And it'll grow 10, 12 feet high.
Now, that's not the Jerusalem artichoke.
No.
It
looks similar. Uh-huh. Yeah. And the elecampane's in the aster family. And it has very thick stalks. But they tend to fall over because they get top heavy with all the flower, because they have multiple flowers. So I've got to get in there with some twine and lift all of that up. And my Aunt Mary spearmint is not so right now. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I don't want to do anything with that because there's so many bees coming to it.
Yes.
And they need all the food they can get.
And our oreganos. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
The bees are going crazy for oregano. Mm. I put some in a bouquet yesterday for what I hope will be my last dinner party of the summer, but probably not. And I felt bad taking it away from the bees, just even a little bit, but I needed some for inside.
Well, send them over to my garden because I've got oregano. I've got, what's that other, marjoram.
Oh, yes.
I put marjoram in a pot. Because have you noticed how much marjoram has naturalized here in North Idaho? crazy.
And oregano, I would say. It's all over my yard.
It's nuts.
Yeah, well, they love it.
You know, they like the hot summers. They like that. Mm-hmm. They like their feet to be dry. So this is perfect for them. And they get around.
And now, the oregano and the marjoram, don't you have to separate them so they don't cross-pollinate?
Well,
is there anything to that?
To be honest, I don't know about that. I'll admit it. I don't know everything. Oh, my gosh.
Are they cousins? I didn't know that.
They're cousins. Ah. They're very closely related, except for the oregano is much stronger.
Yes.
Much, much stronger than the marjoram.
And with the heat this week, it's a great time to be drying your culinary herbs because all the oils are up and it's time to put them in the dryer and
true.
Get ready for winter.
Right. Right.
Right. Well, what are you looking at for harvesting from the home garden?
We just harvested in my dehydrator right now is Tulsi basil, so AKA holy basil. Mm. And that's a plant perfect for this time of year when you're kind of in that overwhelm. I love this band. I'm going to go see it on Thursday, but oh my gosh, there's going to be so many people. So the signature of Tulsi is if you feel so keyed up and so overwhelmed, it just takes that feeling away. And we get overwhelmed so easily because, you know, we're bombarded with so many stimuli. Right.
Yes.
So we're talking earlier about advertising on TV and, you know, you pay for cable and they're still advertising and you think, what am I paying for? Constant barrage, social media, you know, your neighbors are playing their music too loud, whatever it is. And then you can get to, and this one person comes up to you and they're angry and they, you know, they don't have to be angry at you, but they're just like coming at you and their energy is so huge that it can break that's the last straw on the camel's back. That happened to me just last week. My neck went out because I was so overwhelmed by this person's energy that I just seized up and my neck went out. So what I go to is that Tulsi basil, and you can make a tincture of it fresh, or the tea is just a delightful taste. And that takes away that I cannot deal right now. Mm. And it gives you energy without stimulating. And that, you know, that we're used to taking energy drinks and drinking coffee and we go on that roller coaster ride. But what Tulsi does is gives you this clean energy that doesn't jack you up and takes away the overwhelm and helps you feel like, okay, I can take a breath, think clearly, because when we're overwhelmed, we can't think very clearly. Our mind can literally shut down. And this way we can go, okay, do I need to separate from that, you know, limit some contact with that person? Do I have too much on my plate and I need to simplify? It gives you that clarity.
That's wonderful. And as I'm thinking about what Tulsi basil looks like, is it with the smaller leaves?
Yes.
Is that the one, that dainty, really pretty basil? Yes.
Oh, and it smells so good. And exactly how it smells is how the tea tastes, which I think is so wonderful.
That does sound wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, are there other calming herbs? I'm thinking lavender. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lavender is on its way out. The lavender in my raised bed, I have Fulgate lavender, which is the real purpley one with a shorter stem. And then I have the Provence lavender, which is the long stems and the longer, lighter. The inflorescences are longer and the flowers themselves are lighter, and they're ready to harvest now. And again, bees are all over the place, but I have some Fulgate in the ground as well. It's one of my favorite plants. And what I like about lavender is it's an anxiolytic. That means it takes away or reduces anxiety. It gives you that calming focus when we have the racing thoughts, when we're trying to make decisions and we just feel bombarded by our mind. You know, lavender says, okay, let's take one thing at a time. Let's chill out just for a minute and cool down. It's very cooling. It's antipyretic. And when we're anxious, we can get hot. when we're anxious, we can get angry, and that cools down that anger, cools down the liver. And the Chinese say that liver is the seat of your anger. And, you know, when you're reading books way back when, who, like Tale of Two Cities, Charles Dickens,
yes,
you know, he'll say, he would say, oh, Mr. Cavendish was feeling liverish today. And that means, you know, he was not being a very nice guy that day, right?
Wow.
But it, he got that, you know, the liver, you know, if we have liver heat, it's going to, you know.
And another phrase that comes to mind is, or so-and-so's bile was rising.
Yes.
And that's from the, definitely from the liver.
Right?
Yes.
True. That's,
yes.
Yeah, bile is created in the liver.
Yes.
And that actually leads me over to, so, you know, lavender being what? Cooling, anxiolytic, taking away the anxiety, helping us to focus when we have racing thoughts or too many thoughts, helping us to just chillax and just take that deep breath that we need. And then we move over to mugwort. Mugwort can be harvested now. And again, listeners, you want some mugwort? I got you some mugwort.
And I have to back up to lavender for a moment. For example, I noticed that just the fragrance of lavender is calming, but we can do much more with it than that, right? We can put it, I've baked with lavender. You dry it, of course, and then you're going to use it, what, as a tea?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but just the fragrance is the, so just the
nice.
Beginning, but there's, and not to carry on with lavender, but
I can carry on with lavender for the next 8 hours.
No, I know,
easy.
But just for listeners to know that the fragrance is just the tiniest
divine.
Beginning. Yeah, the beginning.
Yes. And the reason we're smelling it, you know, if we rub our hands on it, we're opening up those glands and those cells that contain those terpenes, which are what makes up essential oils. That's and they're releasing into the air. And they're so tiny, these molecules, that they're rising up and going into our nostrils. And you know what? Our sinus cavities are right next to our brain, and that membrane is so thin it can literally flood our brain and our entire then move through the entire body into our cells to be so calming. So we don't even have to take in the lavender. We don't have to take a tea. In fact, if we drink just straight lavender tea, it could taste too strong and a little soapy.
Yes.
So we add a little bit, maybe to my Aunt Mary's spearmint or peppermint or, you know, some of the holy basil. Lavender and holy basil tea together. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I totally get that. And even when baking, a little goes a long way with lavender. A little bit goes a long way.
When I'm, you know, I did farmers markets for 27 years, and one of the things I did was make soap. I would make soap every single week. Oh, my gosh. Bazillions of 27-inch logs of soap, and I would carry them to the market, big loaves. And it was the marketing, right? So I would cut to order, and the lavender soap went so fast.
Yes.
And the first time I put lavender in my soap, I thought, well, this is beautiful, right? I'm going to have lavender essential oil. It's going to have lavender in it. It's going to be beautiful. And I made it and gave it to a friend. And she said, it looks like you have mouse poop in your soap. Because, you know, the lavender flowers will turn dark. And they're about the size of a, you know, mouse poop. So, you know, if you're going to put it in soap, grind it up.
Mm.
Grind it up. And, you know, we make lavender honeys, lavender-infused honeys. You can put ginger in that. You can scrape the vanilla, open up a vanilla bean and scrape the seeds and then chop the bean in there.
Mm.
And the ginger and lavender and vanilla together are so nice. Or you can put lemon peels, lavender lemon. Such a great taste. Lavender lemon shortbread.
Oof.
Ooh la la. Mm. And so what are you
any
using?
Shortbread.
Yeah, any shortbread. So you make that lavender infused honey, right? And throw in some chopped up lemon peels and the lemon pulp. Let it sit for 3 weeks, strain it out. Oh my gosh, you can make lemonade out of that. Mm. Put that on toast, in your shortbread cookies. So good.
Where did you learn all these recipes? Are they all your recipes, or is it just your experience through the years?
Well, you know, I've been doing this almost literally my entire life. I talk about my Aunt Mary mm-hmm. a lot. She was my great aunt, and she lived by herself across the street and down four houses from my grandma. So when I was old enough to walk by myself to Aunt Mary's, I would spend a lot of time with her, and she would teach me about plants. And she would give me plants to take home, starts, because they lived in Pennsylvania. We lived in Chicago, suburb of Chicago at the time. And so Aunt Mary would say, take this linaria, a.k.a. the silver dollar plant or the money plant, and you plant that by your door, and that brings money in. And by golly, I have the linaria all the time by my door. And
once you have it once.
That's it.
That's it.
All right. Mm-hmm. And just that, you know, the seeds and inside those
little discs,
they look like little silver dollars. Yes. They're so cute. And so, and then she would tell me what my great grandma did to keep them healthy. So that went back. I mean, they were, my Aunt Mary and my grandma were born in the very early 1900s, like 1906 or 8, somewhere around there. So they were around for a long time, mm-hmm. and she just took me under her wing, and she really instilled in me. She opened up that passion for plants and that interest in plants that just never quit. And I'm mostly autodidact, meaning I've taught myself most of what I know. So grubbing under the pine trees, the fir trees when I was growing up, and you know, picking dandelion flowers and chewing on them, and I'm you know, happy to be here because I've eaten a whole lot of plants in my life, and luckily I never got sick.
Well, but I have to interject and just say I hope that you'll continue on for many, many years, and you're not going to be everyone's grandmother or great aunt, but your school is there to bring what those grandmas and great aunts brought to you. So we'll just hope that that can go on for a long, long time, Suzanne.
Thank you. Well, I always say, you know, people talk about retirement, and I can't imagine not teaching anymore. I mean, that is so in my blood. And in fact, the first weekend in October, I'm going to do an herbal intensive. And so we'll be in the garden and in the wild and learning medicine making and all, just so much herb gathering and preparation.
Good. And how would listeners find that and sign up for that?
They'll find it when I get the information to my website manager.
They'll know when you know.
So by Monday latest.
Oh, good.
So by, you know, the first, second, third, the 3rd of August, 4th of August, it'll be up on the website.
Right. Well, something for folks to look forward to. Now, we got a little lost in lavender. That wasn't my intention, of course, but we did. Now, where were we headed before I sidetracked us with extra lavender?
More lavender.
Yes. Mugwort.
Mugwort. Yes.
Right.
Thank you.
So what I love about mugwort is, you know, I was talking about how you stroke the flowers and the leaves of plants. You do that with mugwort, and it releases this terpene called alpha pinene. And that is a tranquilizing terpene that the plant uses part of its defense mechanism. It can't get up and walk away from a pest. It can't slap a mosquito like we do. That's so satisfying, isn't it? Little bugger, you're gone.
No kidding. So it has, especially lately.
It has this terpene that when a bug eats the leaf, it gets really sleepy. It falls asleep, falls off, and when it finally wakes up, it goes, "Oh, okay, well, I need to go find something that I need to eat. And this is a plant that I'm not going to be able to eat." So it's such an amazing plant. So for us, it translates into so calming. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of, we don't always have to take a plant in. We can get its healing by, you know, touching the plant, by smelling the plant. There's so many, just sitting in the garden is so meditative, right? Watching the bees and whatnot. Another thing that I like about mugwort is that it takes in toxins and chemically transforms them into the basic building blocks of life, oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen. And if you think energetically how that can translate to our lives. So we carry around these backpacks full of junk, behaviors that aren't serving us, resentment lists, you know, unforgiveness, self-loathing, you know, all the judgment, criticizing, all these things, these things that keep us from being the amazing people that we were really meant to be, to a point. I mean, we're still amazing people walking on the earth right now, breathing this amazing air that we have here in North Idaho. And wherever you are, you know, there are amazing blessings all around you if you will only open up your eyes to it. Mm-hmm. So what mugwort does is it allows us to take things out of those backpacks. In fact, let's just take off that backpack because it's not serving anymore. And then it frees us up to just be that whole healthy person. And then all of a sudden, whoa, we're talking about boundaries and we're saying no. And there, you know, the other person isn't liking it so much, but we're able to speak our truth a lot better because we're not wrapped up in, oh, if I speak my truth, they're not going to be my friend anymore. Or they're going to break up with me, whatever it is. It gives us that strength and that courage to be who we are.
Well, let's talk a little further then about mugwort and how would one prepare it? And what is the feeling like? I mean, you've told me a little bit about the effect, but is it a calming feeling? How does it feel to you when you use it, and how do you use it?
That's how it feels, just like that. When I was in Western Washington, I had a key to a 100,000-acre tree farm, and there was no other herb school that they allowed up there. And so we just crawled all over, and we found this one part of the mountain that had Artemisia sextorfii, which is one of the species of mugwort. And I would be talking about the mugwort, and I would have everybody cut a stem, and I want you to smell that, and I want you to rub these leaves, and okay, now let's sit down and talk about this plant. And, you know, watching shoulders drop, watching smiles happen, right? And for me, I would start getting a little loopy, and in my head, I'd say, oh, I hope I can make it through this lesson.
Without a nap.
Yeah, I'm really feeling like I want to lay down right now.
Is it a sleepy feeling?
Oh, very much so. All right. Very wonderfully sleepy feeling. And then the thing with mugwort, though, is that it can give you wild dreams, like, whoa! crazy dreams. And so some people wake up and go, well, that was like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And I like that. That was a lot of fun. And other people say, man, that was a little too intense and I'm not feeling rested. So,
and this is just from touching the
this
plant?
This is just from touching the plant. And, you know, when I was younger, like 40 years ago, younger, I used to dry the mugwort and I'd roll them in rolling papers and I would take long hot baths and I would smoke it, right? And it's legal. It's mugwort. It's legal anywhere, you know. And I would get so relaxed. And I remember one time I just kind of oozed myself into bed. And I had been having this recurring dream where it was really kind of foggy, smoky, and something was chasing me. And I was always very terrified, right? And so I thought before I went to bed, I need to have that dream so I can tell it to knock it off already. Because with mugwort, we can have lucid dreams.
Oh, boy.
It's crazy.
Sounds fun.
That is
crazy.
It's so much fun. Yes. And so you can change the course of your dreams and be more alert during your dreams. And sure, I fell asleep, sure enough. And I kid you, this is an honest story. I started having that dream and I stopped and I was terrified, right? And I stopped and I turned around. And I'm like, mm-mm. Like my neck was snapped. This was back before my neck was a mess. And I was snapping my neck. And I just said, you cannot bother me anymore. Poof. The dream went gone. And I never had that dream again.
That's great.
Isn't
incredible.
That amazing?
Yes. I do have a couple dreams like that I wouldn't mind having never come back.
Mugwort. I have a lot in my garden if you want to come pick it. And you can just, another way to use it is just make a swag or, you know, a smudge bundle. Just have it by your bed. And if you have too many restless dreams, then, you know, take it out of your bedroom. But that's a great way. Hmm. You can make a vinegar with mugwort. It's so mineral rich.
Wow.
That, and it's a very good bitter herb. So it takes down inflammation, when we're stressed out, when we have anxiety, when we have overwhelm, that we have a histamine reaction. And so that's then we get, you know, inflammation. And from inflammation can cause chronic inflammation if we're not dealing with the stressors very well. And then out of that, gosh, everything. Fibromyalgia, even cancer, so many diseases come from that. So mugwort really helps us to take off the baggage, get those dreams worked out, right? Help us to be clear enough to make decisions, feed our body's battery full of vitamins and minerals to,
I'm having an idea. I'm having an idea, Julie. And that is that we have, instead of like a stressful dinner party, we have a mugwort party.
We all
fall asleep and our dreams are solved. And we'll get some vinegar, so we could even have mugwort salad.
Yay.
Balsamic, olive oil and some, not balsamic, but mugwortic or something. Vinegar.
Mugwortic. I love that.
And what kind of vinegar do you use for your herb vinegars?
I use raw, unpasteurized, organic apple cider vinegar.
Oh, you do use apple cider.
Yes, I do. Because we're starting with the nutrition of the apple.
Mm-hmm.
And there are enzymes from the apple. And enzymes are the precursors of proteins. And we have proteins in every single cell in our body. Mm-hmm. And that we need proteins to run the body. So we're starting with good enzymes, and then we're adding the medicine and the nutrition of any of the herb that we're soaking in there. Now, if we can use white vinegar, but you have to use, I'm not going to should. Everybody can do what they want to do, but just so you know, non-organic white vinegar is made from GMO corn. Mm-hmm. So that's no bueno. No bueno.
Sure. And it certainly has a different flavor.
Yes. Mm.
So I would guess a little goes a long way in this instance also. Not too much mugwort in your vinegar.
Well, you know what? I would rather make a strong vinegar and dilute the vinegar than after. So I take the plant, stems and all, chop it up as tiny as possible so that that vinegar can really pull everything out. Mm. I stuff my jar all the way and then pour the vinegar in the jar, and it'll bubble down, go all the way up to the top. Put on a plastic or a glass lid because the metal lid is going to react with the vinegar and just, you get this black weird stuff this layer on top, and that's no bueno. So we're going to use, and if we don't have a plastic or a glass lid, then we're going to use parchment paper between, and change that several times. Put that on, put a label on it.
Yes, label. We learned that last week.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Label.
And then you put that on your counter on a plate, let it sit for 3 weeks, strain it out. And then we can use a little, like a half a teaspoon or a teaspoon in our drinking water. We can use that with, why don't you use like a half a cup of vinegar, half a cup of good unadulterated extra virgin olive oil, put in some fresh herbs from the garden, put in a little bit of lavender, put in some chopped up fresh oregano and thyme and sage and lovage that tastes like
celery.
We talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. We made on Thursday, we made that because we harvested a bunch of plants from my husband's veggie garden and then made a salad dressing out of herbs from my garden. And a gal brought one of her herbal vinegars and we put that together and everybody got to take home a bottle. Well, you shake that up, by the way. You can put in fresh minced onions and garlic. Or if you want to use powders, you can put that in. You can throw in a little mustard seed or mustard, throw in a little herb-infused honey or just plain honey.
Yeah.
So good. And that's the way to get the medicine to the people, right?
Yes, so much so. Now, you've prompted more questions from me, and we started by talking about the harvest of garlic, and we all know, garlic. And last week we talked about how important it was to crush the garlic. And so we know some things about how to treat our garlic, but after our talk last week, I really wanted to be thinking about this wonderful food that we didn't touch on last week, and that is the shallot. I mean, the French love the shallots and think they're superfood. What is your opinion?
I grew shallots last year, and I loved them, and I didn't grow them this year because I forgot.
That's the
only reason.
Dang it.
Yeah. And the shallot is kind of a combination of onion garlic. So it's milder than a garlic and it's got a little more oomph than the onion. And just that cross between you don't have to use a lot and it just adds this depth of flavor if you're making a roux. You know, to make a cream sauce, whether you're using a nut milk or cream, it just adds this incredible flavor to it. Then you pour that over your noodles, your homemade noodles, or you use that instead of hollandaise sauce over a biscuit and egg in the morning. Yum. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yum.
I'm a big fan, too. I think shallots should be part of every home garden.
Amen, and, my sister.
Right, sister. And, you know, according to the French, if we believe the French people, they're equal or superior to garlic in the health category.
Yep. Oh, in the health category.
Yes, yep. Antioxidants.
Yes, I know the fine dining people really use it a lot.
Right.
Yes. But,
well, they're all in the same family, right? Mm-hmm. And so there are sulfur compounds in the shallots and in the onions and in the garlic that are antimicrobial. And if you remember from last week, they do dissipate over time. So you had mentioned last week when you buy a jar of garlic already minced, it's not as strong as when you first mince it. And that's because that allicin has really, gone.
Yeah. And I don't think it tastes as good. It just doesn't have the same flavor.
No.
Well, while we're on the, you know, while we're hanging with the French, let's move on to another herb. Tarragon. I love that herb. Is that in your garden?
No.
Oh, I have some tarragon for you.
You do?
Yes, I
need
do.
Some tarragon in my garden.
You do?
Yeah.
It's
great. I have a 4,000 square foot garden with 11 4 by 12 raised beds. It's not big enough.
No.
We were talking before we went on about all the friends that we have. And do we have enough friends? Can we have more friends? And I always think about that when I think about plants, and my husband will say, do you need that plant? And I'll say, do you need another tool? And then he just kind of walks away defeated once again. And so, yeah, I would love tarragon, you know, and I don't know enough about it to really speak on it besides, you know, it's wonderful in cooking.
Well, yeah. It does winter over, which is nice.
Please
on
do.
Fish, on salmon especially, is very good. And my... When I worked at the Peaceable Kingdom with Lois White, she used tarragon in her salads. She would just tear it and put it in her salad, and that little licorice flavor was just so nice in the salad.
Yes. Tarragon.
Quick question about salad dressing. Do you have to refrigerate it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
because that olive oil goes...
Well, you know... Have you ever eaten a salad and it tastes so good? It's like the best salad you ever have. I mean, you didn't finish it. You put it in the refrigerator and you're thinking about, ooh, next day I'm going to have the best salad I ever ate again. And you pull it out and it's this slimy mush and gross and you can't eat it. That's because the olive oil is literally dissolving the cell walls around the cells. And that's great for herbal medicine because it's pulling out all the things that we want, but it's not so good for salad. Mm-hmm. So if we put fresh herbs in our salad dressing, we want to extend that light shelf life by keeping it in the refrigerator.
Okay, makes sense. Well, Julie, you're in charge of song breaks.
Okay, do you think it's time, Julie?
I think so.
Okay, let's go ahead. This is KRFY 88.5 you're listening to, and we're here with Suzanne Talbert from Cedar Mountain Herb School, and Julie Calamine and myself. So here we've got a song coming up. It's the Goddard Sisters' Wildflower Jig, I hope. There it goes. And that was the Goddard Sisters. You're here on listening to KRFY 88.5. I'm here with Julie Calamine, Suzanne Talbert, and we're talking about everything herbs and trying to calm ourselves in the process.
Yeah, it's a tough one this time of the year. And we've gotten some good ideas, herbal. But then there are all kinds of, there are more herbs for us to talk about. There's behaviors that we've been talking about, getting out, being calm and quiet, spending some time with your plants, not just, you know, calling one friend after another and saying, what are we going to do? I think huckleberry picking is a calming one.
Yes.
Yes. But that's more of a wild, that's a wild crafting thing. So I'm not going to let us get carried away with that idea because we're in the garden. And on our song break, we were talking about, well, more herbs and especially herbs that can be calming. I don't think dill is necessarily one of them, but we were talking about dill.
Dill is calming to me because I love the scent of it. And, you know, our olfactory sense is all about recognizing memories and times in our life when we felt certain emotions. And I don't know what happened to me way back when, but dill, I smell it and I go, ooh, this is so nice. It just has this calming scent to me. Other people might say it's sharp or it's uplifting.
Yeah, for me, it's the same. And I wonder if it has to do with these experiences making pickles with my mother and grandmother. Mm-hmm. All that pickling time, like the little cukes are coming in and you're deciding if it's going to be sweet pickles or dill pickles or just the kind you stick in the fridge for, you know, an hour. Those fridge pickles that are so light and refreshing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm ready. And our cucumbers are coming in.
Yes, yes
too. They are. Yeah. My husband just told me, well, tonight I always ask him, what do you want for dinner? And he says, surprise me, which, you know, gets a little frustrating sometimes. It's like, okay, 365 days of surprise me. And sometimes I do. And he's like, what is this? I go, well, you said surprise. So, surprise.
Surprise.
But this today I'm going to make a cucumber salad.
Nice.
And so, and the first tomato, first red tomato is on my kitchen table right now with a couple of cukes. So I'm going to peel the cukes, slice the cukes, and cut them in half and then slice them and chop up that, that brain.
Tomato. I just
had a brain. Thank you.
Tomato.
No,
dill.
Tomato. Cucumber. Tomato. This is what 65 years old on 4 hours of sleep looks like. The tomato. And then he harvested the onions too just this past Saturday. And so thinly sliced onions. And then I'm dairy free. And so, well, no, I choose to eat dairy free. I'm Suzanne. I'm not dairy free. But you know what I mean. So I'm going to use some coconut yogurt and a little bit of mayo. And then I'm going to throw in chop up some fresh dill, both the leaves and a little bit of the seeds and flowers. Ooh. And that, mix that together, and that is a taste treat, let me tell you. Very refreshing.
And wouldn't you say that just simply the act of preparing this food that we harvest is so calming?
I love it. I love it. And I put on good music, and I sing, and I dance. And what we're feeling, the energy, is going to go into the food we eat. So I try to be happy and peaceful and calm when I'm cooking, because that's what I want to take in. I don't want to take in, I'm ticked off because there are crumbs everywhere, you know?
Or you're cooking.
Right.
Or I've got to cook. It's 362 and
I'm counting.
So done. Yes. No. Well, I'll have to mention then what my meal was last night, because I cook food for good friends. And I know, Suzanne, you maybe aren't a carnivore, I'm assuming.
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are? Oh, good. Oh, well, then you'll love this, because from our freezer, we had a lovely elk sirloin.
Ooh.
And so that got cooked partly in the oven on the grill, and then organic potatoes, not mine, but from Farmer's Market. And then raspberries and cream. What else can there be from the garden?
Yes.
So simple, but so yummy.
Yummy. So yummy. And so nutritious, because they're grown in soil where we're growing too, right?
Absolutely.
They're living where we're living. Right. And so we take that in and we become then better adapted to this land where we're living. And for those of you who are recently moved to the area or moving to the area, eat fresh local food, because it's going to help you to find your place and find your community here.
So true.
Right.
So nice.
And just going to that farmer's market. There's no points lost if you buy organic from a farmer's market, because, you know, they're working hard.
Yes, they are. You're supporting the local farmers.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Of course. Well, where were we?
I don't know.
Okay,
don't know.
You wanted to talk more about basil, I believe.
Oh, basil. Yeah. So I wanted to talk about basil salt. So I always plant 2 or 3 little tiny basil starts, you know, like the regular culinary basil. And they are humongo right now. So big. And they're those essential oils that make those flavors very, since it's been so hot and it's just going to be hot. Those essential oils are produced by the plant as part of its defense/survival to keep the leaves from dehydrating too quickly in that hot sun. And so that translates then to that flavor that just can't be beat. And so I take those, I just pull off the leaves and I take about 1/2 cup of leaves and I put it in my food processor. And then I'll throw in 1/2 cup of salt. Sometimes I use Celtic sea salt. Sometimes I use that pink Himalayan mineral salt, put that in there. And I whirl that up until it's all pulverized. And then I just pulse another 1/2 cup of salt in there. Because if I pulverize the whole thing, I could get powdered salt. And then it gets a little weird. I some people like it. I don't like it. I like the salty chunks, right? And then, so the salt is a bit moist. It smells like heaven on earth. And you put it on a paper towel or a plate or, you know, with a regular towel, you know, hand towel on there and let it sit overnight until it dries. And then you can crumble it up into your salt cellars or your little bowls.
Whoa.
And
wow.
Herb salt.
Yes. I've never considered making herb salt. That really sounds great. And it with the calming herb that and we could all use now.
Yeah. Well, you can use the holy basil. You can use the regular basil. Mm-hmm. And then I put in my spice rack. And so I'm always popping that into the soups. And,
wow.
Once the tomatoes come in, I'm going to be putting that basil in my tomato sauces. I'm going to make stewed tomatoes. I'm going to make some tomato paste because we have a lot of the aromas we're growing. And then I'll make spaghetti sauce as well.
All right. Now, I've got to ask you something. Julie wanted to ask some little tips that you're working with right now at this point of summer, what little garden tips are helping you. But before that, I want to ask you this question. In my shared garden, where I am part of the summer in town, we have many, many, many tomato plants, and we are getting cherry tomatoes, and they're lovely. You eat them in the hot sun. But every other dang tomato in the garden is still green.
Yeah.
There hasn't been one ripe tomato yet.
I know. It's late.
Very late.
It's late.
And there are a lot of them.
I mean,
they're just more and
loaded.
More and more, and they're all green.
Yes. Right?
What's going on?
Well, I think the weather's being a little weird.
Cool
it was
nights.
Cool, right?
The cool nights have.
Yeah.
Have
and we had
slowed them.
We had an early spring, but it was a long, cool spring. And we've had extra rain this year, which bless it for doing that, because that's been helpful.
Yes.
But I think with some, like I said earlier, some plants are just so accelerating and other plants are taking their just sweet times. But you know what? We still have a good 6 weeks of good summer.
Good to remember. Well, they're all going to come in at the same time. And there's going to be a lot of, harvest work coming all at once. But it'll be fun and exciting.
Can I tell you my favorite thing to do with the cherry tomatoes?
Sure.
Okay. So you pick them, you slice them in half, and then you scoop out the seeds. And you put them on dehydrator racks with the cut side up, and you dehydrate them at 135 for 18 hours at the most. And then you take them out, and they're a little crispy. So you put them in a bowl, and you splash them with that organic apple cider vinegar. Just for like a cup, you're putting in maybe 1/4 cup of vinegar, a cup of dried tomatoes for 1/4 cup of vinegar. And it soaks it all up and it gets that sun-dried tomato consistency.
Mm-hmm.
OMG. And then you put them in jars and you throw in a little bit of dried thyme and oregano that you may have got from the farmer's market or you got from your own garden and dehydrated. You pour olive oil over that, put a lid, put it in your refrigerator, and you've got very inexpensive sun-dried tomatoes that then you can, I crack one of those open and I like to first cook up some Italian Sausage, some ground Italian sausage with some onions from the garden. And then I open one of those little, I do the little jelly jars. I'll throw that in there. And then I make homemade noodles. So you can make a cup of flour.
I'm so hungry.
Me too. I haven't had breakfast yet. A cup of flour, whether it's wheat flour or, you know, I like that Namaste brand because I do gluten-free as well. And then a half a teaspoon of salt. And then two eggs. And so you make a little well. You stir the salt and the flour. You make a little well. That means like a little hole. And you crack those eggs in there. And you just stir that around and stir that around until it all comes together.
And there it is.
And then you can roll it out with a rolling pin and cut it with a pizza cutter if you want. Or if you have a pasta maker, you can use that. The thing with the gluten-free, though, I cover it and I let it sit for a couple hours because it seems like that egg and the rice flour, which is that brand, is rice flour, needs to really kind of meld together so it becomes more pliable. Mm-hmm. And I'll even add to that one, I'll add just a little bit of water because I find it'll be too stiff.
And well, I get it. And that sounds, oh my gosh, you guys, that sounds so great.
And then then you put your sun-dried tomatoes on that.
Yes.
Yeah, circling back to, I'm digressing.
Now, we've gotten our recipe for the week, everybody, because I'll bet y'all have some cherry tomatoes. And Julie, I'm wondering if she's doing this to us on purpose. She teases us with like a recipe or something, and we have one more topic we want to get to, but she doesn't quite get there. And so now we've got next week, we've got to come back. I'm feeling a little tricked here.
Method to my madness.
It just seems like, you know, fun, exciting stories. And then suddenly we've got to have her again.
Yeah. That's the beauty of herbs.
Yeah.
It is a whole world of its own.
Yeah. And everybody has their experiences. And I love hearing everybody else's stories. I learn from everybody's stories. Yes.
All right. Well, now Suzanne Tabert of Cedar Mountain Herb School. You have like 90 seconds. And is there one little garden tip you can share with Julie before we sign off and wish everyone a great week?
Yes. So you're going to be cutting back the plants that are starting to get that powdery mildew because it's telling you that that plant is at the end of its life cycle and it's not going to be producing anymore. So you go ahead and cut that off and put that in your compost.
Monarda, for example.
Monarda, the comfrey is doing that. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to give a plug. This Saturday, I'm going to be teaching a botanical skincare class at the Clark Fork Library from 1 to 3. And so I'll be talking about the skin, the parts of the skin, what its function is, how to get healthy skin from the inside out. And then I'm going to demonstrate how to make a simple cream and people will take samples and then everybody will make a toner for the skin that's just so wonderful for clearing blemishes and just tightening the skin. And I'm going to be bringing herbs from my garden for that.
Wow. Wonderful.
One to three. Clark Fork Library.
Who wouldn't want to learn that?
Yes, who wouldn't?
All right, well, we're going to have to wrap it up. And so, Julie, why don't you take us out with a conclusion? It's been a great hour. Or Suzanne.
Yes, it has. And thank you, everybody, for listening. This is 88.5 KRFY, and we're going to go out with Jimmy Buffett, A Pirate Looks at 40. So thanks, everybody, for listening.
And thank you, Suzanne Tabert.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.